You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great habit to get into. If you are new to the show, you need to know that we have a fabulous, free weekly newsletter. It's called the K-Files E-Zine, and you can subscribe by going to kevinsmithshow.com. Just click on where it says K-Files E-Zine. You'll see it in red letters right in the center of your screen, and subscribe. It takes a few seconds. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, although most people don't want to, and they stay with us forever, and we hope you will too. Well, there are new sightings of UFOs over in Texas, in the Stephenville area. And, of course, we know all about the big UFO that was seen over there back in January. Well, there have been some additional sightings. The Air Force says that they did have F-16s. These sightings were on October the 23rd. And the Air Force says, well, we had F-16s that were on a training mission in the area. And the people who witnessed these things said, yeah, we saw them too. It was not the UFOs. We saw the F-16s and we saw the UFOs. I've looked at video. It's the video that I've seen is pretty shaky, but certainly does not appear to be airplanes. MUFON has requested, they've already sent requests for radar data from the F-16s. I would be quite surprised if they receive radar data from the F-16s, but they have requested it. The Stephenville, Texas area appears to be kind of a UFO hotspot in the country right now. And in a three-month period of time, they've had 75 reports of UFO sightings, or 75 sightings reported, I guess is what we should say. So that's kind of that's a lot. That's a bunch. NASA sort of has a runaway bride. Do you know about that? NASA, you remember the movie Runaway Bride? Remember that movie? And, every time she was about to get married, there was just something in her that just took over and she had to run away. And it was a pretty popular movie, pretty famous movie. Well, NASA's got a runaway bride, and it's called the Hubble Space Telescope. Now, we have to take a break here in just a few seconds, and when we come back from that break, I'm going to tell you about the runaway bride, NASA's runaway bride, and then we're going to go open line tonight. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind. whatever it is that has you interested and has piqued your curiosity. So get your fingers ready to do the dialing whenever I open the phone line after this break. What's the deal with this NASA's runaway bride? Well, they've got one. It's the Hubble mission, the mission where they plan to go up and repair the Hubble Space Telescope. And every time they get ready to go up, something happens and they have to delay. Well, the something that happened, of course, is I think it was either the day before or a couple of days before they were supposed to launch. They had to delay already once, and then a couple of days before they were supposed to launch, Hubble went dark. It quit sending pictures back. And so they found that the system that was handling the data transfer on board Hubble had crashed. Well, there was a backup system that had never been fired up in 18 years. It had never even been tested once it was in space. Well, they said, okay, we'll start trying to reroute the data into that backup system. And it took them a while to do it. It was apparently a rather tedious process. But they finally said, we think we got it ready. We're going to fire up Hubble. When they tried, it didn't work. So they had to go back to the drawing board and come up with some more software solutions, which they did. Now, after coming up with those software solutions and sending those commands up to Hubble, they fired it up again or booted it up and tried it to see if it worked. And yes, it did. And in fact, it was picture perfect. Everything was fine. And then NASA announced on Thursday, that would be today, on this side of the planet, that a mission to upgrade Hubble will be delayed at least until May. Now, you would think, okay, now they've got the Hubble working again, kind of limping along, but it's there. So let's get up there and give it the replacement parts it needs, right? No. No, they're going to delay at least until May. And it says a key replacement part that is essential because of the telescope's failure in September won't be ready for at least 6 months. So the repairs that they were going to do originally are still on. They're going to do those. But now they've got this other thing that crashed, you know, the thing that wouldn't work. Now they've got to take a replacement part up for it, and it's not going to be ready for at least 6 months. So just every time they get ready to go, something happens that delays the launch. It's kind of like a runaway bride, isn't it? All right, tonight is Open Line. And, you know, I don't always succeed, but I try to do an open line each week. And tonight is open line. The telephone number is area code 602-539-9580. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. I have a few things on the table as well. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm in the first spot again.
Yeah, you are. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been doing a lot of brushing up on my Greek mythology recently, and I've been looking into the Indian Vedas scripts, and I've also been looking in again to the War in the Heavens. that I think I've brought up a few times on this show. At one time, I used to think that it was the Anunnaki versus the Greys, but I think I want to revise that.
All right. How do you want to revise it?
Well, looking in the Greek mythology, I heard that, and also in the Indian Vedas, and the Greeks speak of the gods who were having wars in the heavens against the serpent. Well, you know, earlier this week, you know, we've spoken about reptilians.
Yeah.
And we've spoken about the ancient god.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, putting those two together and then adding it in with the Greek mythology and Zechariah Sitchin's works with the gods of being the Anunnaki, and the reptilians also sticking their nose where they don't belong. I think that the wars in the heavens that way long in the past that the Greeks defeated and the Bible speaks about was likely between the Anunnaki and the reptilians. That's from the research I've been doing.
Have you ever seen any of the little statues that the Sumerians carved of the Anunnaki?
Oh, yeah, I've seen quite a few of them.
Some of them look very reptilian.
Well, according to what I've been reading, is that it was the Anunnaki at first, human-looking beings at first, and they were overthrown by the reptilians. And that's why later on we see reptilian statues among the Sumerian and Mesopotamian and Hittite statues and whatnot, as well as in drawings.
Oh, it certainly could be. So you think that it's an ongoing war between the Anunnaki and the reptilians?
I think one of the two got their butt kicked. I think that's what happened. I'm starting to lean towards the Anunnaki that got thrown aside, but I'm not quite sure yet. I'm going to have to do some more research, and of course, we're going to find out. Apparently, we're going to start finding out in the next couple of years if the stories about Nibiru coming here in the next 4 years is true.
There's every possibility, Kevin, that the stories about Nibiru may be on the same plane as the stories about October 14th.
Yeah, I've considered that, but there's also allegedly that we're going to be able to see Nibiru starting. They're going to be able to start seeing it with the naked eye starting in May of next year. So I'm going to keep my eyes out for that. I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket, mind you. When it comes to Blossom Goodchild and October 14th, I didn't buy it whatsoever. I thought it was Project Bluebeam of all things, if anything. But it was either Bluebeam or nothing was going to happen. Nothing happened. I didn't think anything was going to happen.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, look, I appreciate the call. And do you think this war is ongoing today, or is it finished?
I'm not sure. We haven't heard of any Anunnaki or Nephilim for quite some time. The last of the giants apparently didn't last past the 18th, 19th century. So I would say probably it's over, more or less.
All right. Well, look, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night.
All right, folks. Open line tonight. That means that whatever is on your mind, we will be glad to hear from you, and we'll be glad to discuss whatever you have on your mind. And the telephone number is 602-539-9580. And let's go back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Chris from
Grand Rapids. Ah, Chris, hang on. Let me turn your telephone up here so everyone can hear you. All right, Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan. What's on your mind this evening?
Hey, I wanted to ask you, did you ever have a chance to ask your guest, Mr. Eckhart, the other night about tunnels and what he thought they were digging them for?
No, we ran out of time. I got that message, and I got the message from you, but it was near the end of the show when I read it, and we just ran out of time. But he has agreed to come back again and be with us again, so we'll ask him when he's back with us.
Well, I'll tell you, Kevin, that show was outstanding. And, it was like that one you had with the gentleman that was on the military base that was under attack by UFOs.
John Vasquez.
Yeah, yeah. It was just one of those guests where the guy seemed so, like, blunt and in your face about what he was experiencing that you couldn't help but go along on that ride with him and just go, wow, this is fantastic, you know?
Pretty amazing information, wasn't it?
It was. Well, cool. I'll let you go, sir, and let some other people in, and thanks again always for the good radio, sir. We definitely appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. I'm still getting email about the show we did with David Eckhart and information that he presented and the photographs and the video. Although the video is only, you know, two frames of video still. We were able to see what it was that was in the door, and I'm still getting email about that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hi, Kevin. My name is Terry. I'm from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hi, Terry.
That's Perry with a P.
Oh, Perry. I'm sorry.
Yes, as in popcorn.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin, the reason why I'm calling tonight is because sometimes I'm lazy. I leave the window open after your show's done. And last night, there was something that came on from a gentleman that was talking about Nibiru. And then right before your show tonight, it was on again. But he didn't get a chance to complete. I don't know if you know who that is, but it was very fascinating information.
Yeah, that's Lloyd Pye.
I was wondering if you...
I think you're talking... No. About Nibiru. I don't know.
Very fascinating. He was more of a scientist about this instead of, any of this... he was very, very level-headed about it and applying a scientific thought to it and... He spoke about the possibility of how Earth could have gone into its present orbit and whatnot, and it was just very interesting. I was hoping that maybe you might have a chance to get him on your show sometime.
Most of the people, let me say to the audience, let me explain what you're talking about. Steel Eye Media Network runs 24-hour television on this channel that we're on, okay? And so if you're watching me right now on the internet, if you're watching me, we're on Steel Eye Media Network channel. And before I come on, there are videos playing, and after I go off the air, there are videos playing. And so that's what Perry is talking about. Most of the people that you will see there have been on my show. Lloyd Pye has been on my show. Stan Deo has been on my show. Michael Heiser has been on my show. Most of the people that you see, some of them I have invited but cannot get on my show. Zachariah Sitchin, for instance. I've tried for the last 4 years to get Zachariah Sitchin on the show, and for 4 years they've been telling me he just doesn't do live radio interviews anymore. And I'm not really sure which one you're talking about. If you can kind of keep an eye on the videos that are playing and figure out which one it was and send me an email with a name, I'll certainly try to get the person on the show.
Will do. I could tell you what he looks like, but I don't know his name. But I will take notes and see if I can get a better description next time.
All right. And if you figure out who it is, let me know, and I'll send them an invitation to be on the show.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, Kevin, I love your show. You are number one.
Well, thank
on my
you.
Daily regiment.
Well,
I just want you to know.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, folks. Wow, it's always fun to hear when someone likes you. I usually hear when they don't, but I appreciate that. We are open line, and we would be more than happy to take your call. All you have to do is pick up your telephone and dial 602-539-9580. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Puget Sound.
Hi, Ryan.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thanks for asking.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you have a good Halloween.
I'll be spending
one of my regular listeners out there. I've really enjoyed being a part of the listening crowd to your show over the past several months. Actually, it's probably been more than a year now that I've been listening. All the regulars like Terry in Ohio and Charles in Albuquerque, I hope, are all listening, and Kevin in Ontario, and I can go on and on. There's others, but
it sort of gets to be like a family, doesn't it?
Yeah. People have a chance to call in and express their opinion, and I just think it's great. I was fascinated with David Eckhart. I do have a few questions about his tape, but as far as I can tell, he seems to be pretty honest about what he's talking about. I want to ask you, me and a couple other people have been chat room, and I've been trying to get your forums moving again. I posted a couple of messages in your forum, so if anybody wants to go in there and join the discussion. I know it's a radio show, however.
Well, yeah, and those are there for people to use and to enjoy. And, once in a while, I have someone that sends me a bunch of email telling me we ought to do this and we ought to do that and all that. Well, everything, forums and chat and everything that people tell me we ought to do, we're doing it. All you got to do is be in the members area and then avail yourself of it. It's there.
So okay, I know when you did your Mars show the other night with the structures on Mars, the video that you have up there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one image that was taken. I don't remember what year it was, but I wanted to suggest, maybe recommend that. I think it's been one of these images that hasn't really been talked about too much. However, it has to be the most amazing image. It's the crown face
image. The crown faced image, yeah. The person who made that
possibly, face. I really don't see how that can possibly be a natural structure. The detail on it is so, you can see the nostrils on the nose.
You can see the face. You can see the crown on the head. It's artwork, is what it is.
I'm sitting here and I was looking at that today, and I was sitting here and I couldn't believe it. I was thinking, now why isn't this being talked about? If you take that to any doubter, any person and that's a scientific image taken by NASA. I sent you the email of it, but I posted it in the forum if anyone wanted to go take a look at it. I just wanted to suggest that. See if anybody, maybe Kevin in Ontario might want to take a look at it, because he was talking about...
Well, listening, I did a show with Tom Van Flandren, who is an astronomer, and Tom Van Flandren is the one who made that picture famous by including it in his seminars and putting it on his website, and we did talk about that. Probably a year and a half ago.
I'll just take it off the air. I wanted to see what you're doing. I know it's not the topic you have tonight, but I just had it on my mind, so I wanted to.
Well, it's open line tonight, so any topic is fine as long as it's not Obama or McCain.
Right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. The face that he's talking about is called the crowned face, and it is astounding, to say the least. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is open line tonight. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. Let's go to the telephone caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name?
Hello, Kevin.
Yes, and your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Okay, Brent, hold one moment. All right, now let's see here.
Yes.
Who have I got?
This is John from San Diego.
John. Okay, John, I'm sorry I cut you off momentarily there. John from San Diego, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, Kevin, I sent you an email on that Army Intelligence Fort Meade website.
And now I know who you are, John. You've been a guest on this show.
Yeah, I was.
John, I tried that. I didn't find anything. I must have done something wrong. I tried to follow your instructions. I didn't find anything about new UFOs.
Yeah, I think the way I typed it in, I typed it kind of, I think I made mistakes on them. But, yeah, I've been on that website, on an electronic reading room website.
Uh-huh.
There's about 60 million web pages on UFOs.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been looking. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you. Yeah, the electronic reading room, yeah, they've got a ton of stuff.
Yeah, and I've been looking at it, and I don't know. I found something that's interesting. There's a story that I heard, and I'm sure you heard this too, that on February 20th, 1954, Dwight Eisenhower was on vacation at Palm Springs.
Uh-huh.
He went to Edwards Air Force Base to greet, quote, ETs.
Yeah.
And apparently he was taken away right away because the word is that he had a toothache and had to see a dentist right away.
Yeah, we actually did a show on that. I'm trying to remember now the investigator's name that was on this show. I can see his face in my mind, but I cannot remember his name. Must be because I'm getting old. But he came up with some witnesses, and he played for us over the air some of their recorded statements about seeing Eisenhower there that day at the Air Force Base. And about there being a UFO at the Air Force Base. It was quite astounding.
Yeah, you know, and the reason he was taken away right away, and, of course, the report has said that he was taken away real quick because of a toothache. But that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
He had a heart attack.
Now, how do you know that?
That's on the report. On one of the websites I was looking at, from Army Intelligence Fort Meade, Maryland.
All right. Well, send me the instructions again of how to get to that specific page. I would like to read that.
Yeah, I can give you the two copies they sent me. If you could just email me your address, I could sit in the envelope and ship it to you.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
That sounds good. Send me an email right now. And I'll reply to it with my address after the show.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks much for the call.
Thank you, sir.
All right. All right, let's go to our caller who's been patiently waiting. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? And maybe not, let's try it again. There we go. All right, caller, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. First name and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yeah, Brent.
I'm just going to throw this out there and see what people think it was.
All right.
About a week ago, on my brother's ranch up in Montana, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he heard his dogs bark. He didn't think anything of it, so he just rolled and went back to sleep. The next morning, and you got to realize, he gets up about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
There were the bones of a deer about 100 yards from his house. Now, what that means is that in about 6 hours, whatever it was took the deer, fully living, breathing deer, to a bunch of bones, its hide laid out, and no blood. What was it?
I don't know. What do you think it was?
I don't know.
Whatever it was hungry.
Yeah, I mean, but what's mysterious about it is no blood.
Mm-hmm.
No track, no blood, no nothing.
Well, you know, and we call it cattle mutilation, but the shows that we've done on that, all of the people that we've had on that talked about it, including Linda Moulton Howe, pointed out that it's not just cattle. It's all kinds of animals. It gained attention because whenever it started being cattle, you know, cows are excessively expensive for farmers to lose. And so, you know, it gained attention because a lot of these farmers were losing, you know, anywhere from $800 to $1,200 at a pop. And
$1,000.
Yeah. And so they, because of that, they would call law enforcement in. They would call the local sheriff to come out and investigate what's happened to this cow. And that's how it started making the news. But it's all types of animals. And, in fact, I believe that it was Linda that mentioned deer and horses. The first one on record was a horse.
Hmm. I guess I missed that program.
Well,
I've known the cattle, but I didn't mm-hmm. know they did deer.
Yeah, during that program, we had either a caller or a flash message from Australia that said it had even happened to kangaroos.
Hmm.
So maybe that's what happened to the deer.
I don't know. Whatever it was left nothing but a pile of bones and a skinned out deer.
And no blood.
In place.
Yeah. All right, man. Okay. Thanks for the call.
Goodbye.
All right. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 602-539-9580. I know it's frustrating when you're trying to get in and you can't get in, but keep hitting redial. You'll make it eventually. But that, I mean, that's if you could get in each and every time just whenever you wanted to, that means nobody was interested in the show. When we have an open line show, we will have generally over 100 calls during the show of people trying to get in. But, you know, even if I took one call after another, after another, after another, you know, you've got 2 hours, and if you take one call after another, and you let people talk for 3 or 4 minutes, you wouldn't get all of them in. So I get as many as I possibly can. That is a fact. All right, now, if you have something you want to talk about, I mean something that's on your mind, maybe it's a show that we did, a guest that we had, whatever it is, you can give us a call at that number, 602-539-9580. But I want to show you something here. What we're looking at here is a, this is from Utah, it's a petroglyph, and what we have is a circle with some sort of kind of a disturbance on the right lower side there, a squiggly line there, and there is a being on the inside of that. Now that being on the inside, if you'll look closely, has a headdress that looks very much like what we see on some of the Egyptian hieroglyphs. Doesn't it? Doesn't it look a lot like that? Now, this this drawing is Hopi Indian. And the question that I have about that drawing is, why do they have someone dress that way and have them drawn in a very odd body? I mean, that's an odd body. And why is there a circle around it with a disturbance on one side there? Well, here's another one that's pretty interesting, also from Utah. And what we're looking at is a being that has very broad shoulders, just like this being has. This being has very broad shoulders, kind of a squared, not square, but a very angular kind of a body, blocky-looking kind of body. And you can barely make out very low in that picture that there are some legs. All right. It also appears this being has a long beard, but a very strange head and great big eyes. Looks almost like a big robot of some kind, except it's got a beard. Now, you may be asking yourself, oh, so what? I mean, they drew all kinds of weird stuff, right? Well, I'm not so sure that's the case. I'm not so sure that they were drawing. I don't think they were just making stuff up to draw. I think they were drawing things that they saw. And I think this is something that they saw. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, but I think this is, they've drawn something here that they saw. Now take a look at this. In this photograph, you can see, this is a photograph of some petroglyphs as well, and you can see some very strange creatures here. They have big sort of bubble heads. They have some sort of antenna or some sort of horns coming out of their head. Very strange hands, very strange feet. And there are at least three of these creatures in the picture. Now, put yourself in the place of these ancient Native Americans and ask yourself, what would you have to eat, drink, or smoke to make you dream up a creature like that? In these days of sci-fi, where we're used to special effects and things like that, we can all let our imaginations run away with us. But what about these folks? What about these folks? What is it that would make them imagine this? Or is it not their imagination, but perhaps something they actually saw? We'll come back to that. I want to come back to that in just a moment. But the first thing I want us to do is go to the phone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Is this Kevin?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, this is Josh from New River, Arizona. How's it going?
Outstanding, Josh. If you will, turn your radio down in the back.
I got you. I called back and I got your answer machine before. Sorry about that, Kevin.
All right. Guess what? You're going to have to wait till we get back from break. Can you do that?
Got it.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment, folks. Josh from New River, Arizona will be talking with us. We'll be back right after this. We are back, and we have Josh from New River, Arizona. Josh, I'm in Arizona. Where is New River?
New River, Arizona is like towards Black Canyon City.
I got you. Like, I know where that is, up Highway 17 north of Phoenix.
Got it. Exactly.
All right. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, what's on my mind this evening, Kevin, is my sister, believe it or not, and my two buddies are in downtown Glendale right now watching wireless.
Uh-huh.
And us all together, you know, those lights in Phoenix, everybody was wondering about those and all that. Well, there's tons of video and all kinds of stuff all over the internet, all over the news. They're still playing it to this day. But the thing is just recently, say about 6 months ago, my buddies out there were out there in New River, and, well, one of my buddies kept telling us, hey, we keep seeing these lights. We're like, yeah, whatever, you know, nothing like that. He goes, no, I was abducted. We're like, hey, man, drink another one, right? And it just so happens, Kevin, believe it or not, those lights came when we were out there. And it was something that us all four never experienced before. Now, here's the thing. We thought maybe it just might be in our mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here it is. 2 weeks later, it's just me, my sister, and one of the other buddies. And there it is again, the lights again. How is it possible they show up again? You know, these lights that we've never even seen or how they can even move like that. Regardless of the fact, my sister got it on video. Believe it or not, the first time we saw it.
Yeah.
We ran, everybody scattered everywhere, tried to get anything. They couldn't get anything. My sister got this one on video, and we've had it pretty much about 6-8 months now. And we just, you know, not sure what to do with it. Well, we all decided together that, you know, we saw that you needed 617 left to raise for your show. Mm-hmm. Come to 650, and we want you to look at this video and see maybe if you'd like to have us live on your show and maybe air the video.
Oh, I'd love to.
And the thing is, New River's way up north right now. And actually, what are you doing this evening? You want to meet at Denny's?
There's no way I can. When I get off the air, and a lot of folks don't realize this, when I get off the air, I start work. I have to edit. I have to do post-production and edit the show to get it posted up on the website so people that didn't get to hear us live can hear it as our latest show. And so I've got about and there's a whole lot of other stuff I have to do each and every evening. I do that the same routine, and so it's about 2 to 3 hours of work once I go off the air. So there's really no way I can do it on a night.
No, that is really. It's just my sister was really excited. She's like, "Yeah, we're just going to finally do it. Get it to him fast."
Oh, I'd love to. Is it on a videotape or is it on?
It's on a digital. It's on a digital videotape, but we transfer over to. CD and DVD that plays on the laptop.
All right. You want to email me the video file? That'll work.
One more time?
Would you like to email the video file to me? That'll work quickly.
Okay. It's actually a big file.
Okay. All right. Probably sometime over the weekend.
We came together with Sig Gavin. We came up with 650, man. We want to keep you going here.
All right. Well, look, I'll tell you what. Saturday or Sunday is the best time for us to do that. Send me an email with information on how I can contact you, and I'll get in touch with you, and we'll arrange it.
It sounds great. It sounds really great, and we appreciate your show and everything you're doing, Kevin.
All right. Now, are you looking at your computer right now?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to show you something here. Whoops, wrong move. All right, let's go here. The lights that you saw, did they look anything like what will be appearing on your screen now in a few seconds here? These were taken out around Buckeye, and it was taken several years ago. But I've got it. It's just should be just coming up on your screen right about now.
I wouldn't say exactly the shape, the movement, sort of. Yes.
Watch the weird stuff that happens. You got one that looks like it's got a chip off the right side, and now it's filling in. And they're bumping into each other, and one's got a notch in it.
Whoa, what?
Now, those were taken by our producer years ago, John Edmonds, out at around Buckeye.
Really?
Yeah. And over the Australia Mountains. And they continue to show up. And people don't realize this. All around Arizona, and I would presume Nevada, probably Utah, these things are in the skies. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I never saw one. But a lot of people never look up. They really don't. Most people these days, if you see them coming down the street, they're looking at the ground.
Well, the thing that shook me kind of crazy is my buddy was the one that said it, saw it first all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
When he finally saw it the second and third time, he acted like it was no big deal. And we're just like,
oh! Oh, yeah.
He was like, yep, see, I told you.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting when you see one.
Yeah, and then he was acting like it was no big deal. Then he was telling us, you know, yeah, I'm not going to go into details of some kind of abduction. I'm like, what? You know, it was just kind of outlandish where we're at first, and then all of a sudden it was like we're believers ourselves. It was like we saw the lights, and there's no possible explanation for what exactly he told us, and then it pops up and shows up. It's nothing he could produce.
In 2003, I was at an absolutely fabulous festival in Thailand, and I was at a city that's right on the Mekong River. And I was videotaping the festival. They have these, they call them longboats. It's the ancient Thai warrior boats, but they have them all decked out with lights and stuff, and they come down the river at night. During this festival, and it's a flotilla of lighted boats. And they're all decorated and lighted, and it's just beautiful. And I was videotaping it. But as you're standing there in Thailand, videotaping out towards the Mekong River, what's across the river is Laos. And up above Laos, just on the other side of the river, I caught a UFO. And I've shown that video on the show before. Since I've moved the studio, I have not been able to find that video, but if I can find it, I'll show it again. It's fabulous. Wow. Listen, Josh, thanks for the call. Send me an email, with some contact information, you know, your phone number or something, and, I'll get in touch with you and we'll get together over the weekend.
Okay. Be ready to look. It's going to be crazy.
All right, man.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call. Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. So just north, New River would be north of Phoenix on Highway 17, Interstate 17, going north. And I'm guessing probably maybe 45 minutes north of Phoenix. So it's not very far outside of Phoenix. It's it may be a little bit further than 45 minutes north, but it's not very far north of Phoenix. And so here's some people that have seen repeated occurrences of some lights over their area of Arizona. And lots of times, you know, when people think of UFOs in Arizona, they only think of the Phoenix lights. But there are lots of occurrences, lots of things happen, and lots of video gets shot. And people, I guess, just don't get the notoriety that the Phoenix Lights got. But in any event, this is something that is very important. If you have any kind of an interest at all in UFOs, you got to look up sometimes. And I noticed when I came back from overseas, I noticed almost immediately that people here in the United States had changed a lot. I don't know if it was because of 911 or what, but people had changed a lot. And as you walk down the street, the majority of the people are looking down at the ground. They won't look at you. Well, if you're looking at the ground, chances are you're not going to see a UFO. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing tonight?
Oh, outstanding, man. Thanks for asking.
I got a little information for you and that caller called. Was it a deer he said they found?
Yeah.
Cut up?
Yeah, it was a deer that had it was reduced to bones and the hide and no blood.
Yeah, I ran across something. I mentioned it before on your show. I know people know Woody Strieber.
Yeah.
He's a ducky. He has a new book out. It's called The Nye Incident.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so disturbing to him that he had Craig Spector to write it for him.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do it himself. You guys, you can find this on YouTube if you don't want to get the book. I'm sure him or Linda Moten Howe would probably be a good guest on your show about that. And also, I was wondering if you got my email and was having any success with getting a hold of Mr. Green.
I have not found any
William
contact.
Or Bill.
Yeah, I haven't found any contact information on Mr. Green. I don't know how to get in touch with him.
Yeah. I found things when I Googled a site, had some contact information that people were are in contact with him.
All right, can you send me a link to that information?
I think I did, but I can do it again.
Yeah, please do. We're into a break, Terry. We got to run, man. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. All right, folks, we'll be back after this break. More with your telephone calls. Open Line Live tonight. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live tonight. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. And as long as it's not politics, something in our genre, which is the strange and unexplained. I had an email from someone a couple of weeks ago that said there's nothing more strange and unexplained than American politics. But you know what I'm talking about. Well, we want to talk about the real stuff, the important stuff. So anything paranormal, UFOs, space exploration, futuristic science, that sort of stuff, we're on for that. It is Open Line Live. I think the petroglyphs that I showed you earlier are strange and unexplained. But I think that, one of the people that we've had on this show in the past is Jeff Woolline, and we'll have him again in the future. But Jeff Woolline has done a tremendous amount of study into the ancient petroglyphs that are carved into the rocks on the mountains around the Phoenix area, and specifically South Mountain. He also has videotaped a whole lot of really strange stuff coming off that mountain, coming from the mountain, flying over the city and returning to the mountain. And really weird stuff. He says, and I'm sort of persuaded to think he's correct here. He said, these rocks are the video cameras of their era, of their time. They didn't have video cameras. And he said, what do? We see something strange in the sky. What do? We grab a video camera and we get video of it. Well, they didn't have video cameras, so what did they do? They carved the pictures onto the rocks. That was the videos that served the same purpose as our videos do today. That was the video camera of their day, if you will. Now, that being the case, it is really, really strange when you see a petroglyph that has three very alien-looking creatures. Now, that doesn't look like any creature that you'll find anywhere on this earth. The picture that I've put up for you here has three beings with very short legs, very long arms, strange hands, strange feet, and all three of them have that... I don't know what else to call it. Sort of a bubble head. All right. What do you think about it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Outstanding, sir. What's on your mind?
Just looking at the petroglyph right now. That's pretty interesting. I'm just curious. You said you're out... or you know about the Phoenix area a little bit. How far back does the Phoenix area go? Were there Native Americans that were there from 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago? Is it a really old place? Because it sounds like it's had a lot of activity in the past.
Yes, it is very old. When the first Western settlers got here, the Pima Indians were here, and the first settlers, and I know the first settlers would have been Native Americans, but you understand what I'm talking about, from people coming from what was then the United States out here to the Western territories. And when they arrived, they saw that, number one, it was hot and it was really dry. But they also could tell that the soil was very fertile and could, if it had water, make good farmland. They discovered that, and they got along with the Pima Indians, and they discovered by working with the Pima Indians that there were ancient canals that had been built by ancient Native Americans that the Pimas didn't even know. They knew about these canals, and they helped those settlers find those canals, and the settlers dug them out and used them for, once they dug them out, they began to fill with water from natural springs and so forth, and they used them for irrigation. And so there had been a civilization here that was an advanced civilization that understood how to build these canals and use them for irrigation. So, yeah, it goes back a long, long way. We have a word that we see very often out here. It is a Pima word, and it's Hohokam. Hohokam means the people who were here and are not here now. And so they just refer to the ancients that are way back beyond them. They don't even know who it was. They refer to them as the Hohokam.
Interesting. I have another question.
Sure.
Okay, you showed a video really quickly of, I guess, what your producer filmed a long time ago of the two lights over the mountain.
Yeah.
That was a really cool video. When you describe those objects as going away and back, it's obviously that's not some kind of a natural phenomenon, nor could our planes really do that with the regular technology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, do you sometimes think that maybe it's not just regular illumination, but, you know, we apply Hutchinson's effects and we're learning all these different things. We realize with just conjuring a hypothesis on what could have happened at the Philadelphia experiment, whether it did or not, when these some of the things they said when these people appeared after going through the bent space, they'd have a glow to them. They were giving off different glows. And we say some things fade in and fade out, but if they were bending space and time, as they're going through those different rifts, they might glow when they come in and it might come out. I'm curious, how much do you think, is it just these dudes, you know, these green or brown dudes sitting in a ship with, you know, their windows that you can't see, metallic, and their little lights like from E.T.? How many of those do you think is that in, compared to possible things like just entering in the atmosphere and those lights that maybe he sees, maybe they're possible cameras and they're not even actually what's really controlling them? I'll leave you with that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call. All of that's possible. You know, I say often that in the absence of evidence, all speculation is a definite possibility. I think that it's entirely possible that we have the technology to maybe it's in its infancy. I don't know, maybe it's well developed. But I think it's entirely possible that we have the technology to do what they call transport. You know, like, beam me up, Scotty. I think we probably have that. And I've had guests on the show that say we do indeed have it and have had for a long time. Well, having never seen this actually happened, except on Star Trek, which of course is special effects, having never seen it actually happen, I don't know if perhaps maybe you glow, maybe you give off a kind of a glow after you do that. I don't know. Going through a space-time portal, I think those things probably exist. And when you step through one, does it make you glow? Do you have a different glow about you? Do you look different after you go through one of those? I don't know. There are people that have postulated that the things that we see and call UFOs are they're actually not traveling across space, but traveling from one dimension to another, and we're seeing them as they're either entering or leaving our dimension. Again, I don't know, but I think all of those are very interesting theories. I think there is this thing that is an absolute fact. Number one, UFOs are real. Now, what they are, I don't know, but they are real. They're not hallucinations, and if they were hallucinations, video cameras would not capture them. Your video camera doesn't see your hallucinations. It doesn't capture your hallucinations. It responds to light being emitted and or reflected. And so if you can get it on videotape or if you can get it on film, it's not a hallucination. It's real. But then once you get over that, and you've all heard me say that asking if you believe in UFOs is one of the dumbest questions anybody can ever ask. But once you get past the fact that, yeah, they're real, they do exist, there are tons of questions after that. Okay, they're real. So what are they? And, I mean, if you just take a look at the video that I showed you that was shot by John Edmonds, you take a look at that, and, you know, a camera is catching this. That's up in the sky above the Australia Mountains out here south of Phoenix, Arizona. All right, now, once you understand that a camera caught that, you have to say, yeah, it's real. But now, what is it? I mean, that's just some of the weirdest stuff I have ever seen. Now, all that you see, if you're watching the video that's going out over our video feed right now, what you're seeing is there is, you know, these light and dark patches running all through both of these. You got two lights up there. That's a sphere. Each one of those is a ball. It's a sphere. They're not flat. It's a sphere. And those light and dark patches are running all inside of each sphere. And you see one that is exchanging energy from the right side to the left side. The right side is diminishing. And it's just weird. I don't know what it is. But the question, are they real? Well, what do you think? I mean, there they are. A camera caught it. That can't be somebody's hallucination because cameras do not videotape or photograph hallucinations. So are they real? Yeah. But what are they? And where do they come from? Are they intelligently controlled? Are they piloted? And I think, you know, we've got a lot of evidence stating that, in fact, they are intelligently controlled and piloted. What you're looking at in this video, a lot of people have speculated about these. And by the way, these are not unique. These types of we'll call them UFOs, they're up in the sky, so they're flying. They have been videotaped and photographed all over the world. And I would submit to you, they've been videotaped and photographed in space by NASA. Okay? Now, why do I say that? Well, take a look. Right about here, we have a notched UFO. You see that? You see that notch right there? And you've got right in the center, you've got a, it looks like a donut hole. There's also a notch forming on the other one, right on this side. And again, you have sort of a donut hole in the middle. Looks like, well, looks like some kind of a wafer or something. Now, these are spheres. However, you need to understand that NASA photographed those, something very much like those, in what has come to be called the Tether Experiment. Do you remember that? Tell you what I'm going to do. At the beginning of every show during our intro, there is a piece of video about the Tether Experiment. So I'm just going to play the intro and move it forward towards the Tether Experiment. Okay, and I want you to take a look at the Tether Experiment. Now look at this. All right, if you're watching on video, then you can see that we have the same kind of thing that we just saw filmed or videotaped by John Edmonds. We got the same sort of thing right here in this so-called Tether Experiment that was done out in space back in 1992. And we have a notched UFO. Now, that notch will move. Watch it, and you'll see that it doesn't stay in the same place. That notch will move. Well, there's just not enough of it there. I'm sorry. But if you watch the video of the Tether Experiment, you will see that that notch moves. It closes, and then it reforms on the other side of this UFO. Again, what are they? I don't know. Are they real? Absolutely real. I mean, you know, people can say, oh, I think he faked that video. Okay. I mean, I can't convince you otherwise. I happen to know John, and I know that's not the case. And I've been there where this was filmed, and, you know, knowing him and seeing the surroundings where it was filmed, and I know it's not faked. And I see the same thing in NASA videos. And the way that you know that NASA didn't fake their video is they've done everything they can to explain it away and say that's space debris and ice crystals. And yet if you watch that whole Tether Experiment, what you'll find is that that big one that we were looking at and that I drew the arrow to flies behind the tether. And so we're not looking at space debris and ice crystals that are up close to the camera. It literally flies behind that tether, which was some 90 miles away. So, again, what are they? I don't know. Are they real? No question about it. Are they intelligently controlled? Well, they appear to be. But there is a theory that those, like the ones we were just looking at, the ones that John Edmonds videotaped, and the ones that that NASA videotaped and that we just looked at, there is a theory that those are not craft, but actual living entities. I don't know. I really don't know. But, you know, they appear to have some intelligence about them, and they do some pretty incredible things. And if you just watch, the ones that John Edmonds filmed, if you just watch, you see that there is going to be a transfer of energy from this right side over here. It's going to transfer to this side. The right side is going to diminish, and the left side is going to get larger. So just watch that happen. And they seem to be sort of communicating with each other. And the reason I say that is they sort of bump into each other and then back away. And I don't know. This thing to me looks as if there's some intelligence involved here. Okay, they kind of bump into each other or get close to each other here, and then they back away. So I don't know. It's a real mystery. There are people who think, well, that the whole UFO thing has been solved, you know. It's somebody with some helium balloons and some flares. And no, that's not what you're looking at there. And your own eyes show you, and you know that in looking at that video, you are not looking at flares. You can see that. Sometimes after a UFO is sighted or a series of UFOs are sighted, we hear from the Air Force, well, we had some F-16s out there on exercise. Yeah, okay. So, Subway sandwich shop has some pickles, too. And both of those statements are just about as relevant to the UFO event. The fact that Subway Sandwich Shop has pickles has nothing to do with that UFO. And those F-16s, the fact that you had F-16s on exercise has nothing to do with what people saw. You know, that's one of my pet peeves, and I'd like to hear from you about this as well. And maybe you have some kind of opinion about those petroglyphs we looked at as well. But I'd like to hear from you about this. I get tired. I've had these eyes for 55 years. And, you know, when I use these eyes and I look at a light switch, I know it's a light switch. When I look at a basketball, I know it's a basketball. When I look at a cloud bank, I know it's a cloud bank. In a car, I know that's a car. These eyes have been working just fine for 55 years. And then I see something in the sky that I know is not an airplane. I know it's not a bird. I know it's not a balloon. I know it's not swamp gas. I know it's not flares. I know all of those things, and these eyes are looking at something that's different from all of that. And then they come out and try to tell me that what I saw, I didn't see. Hogwash. I saw what I saw. You saw what you saw. I may not be able to give you a lot of particulars about it and a lot of details about it, but I can tell you what it looked like, and I can tell you what it was not. People down in Dublin, Texas, down in Erath County, have been told that, UFOs you saw, those were probably the F-16s. And the people down there had the good sense to believe their eyes. And they said, no, we saw the F-16s. And the UFOs. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, it's Charles in Albuquerque, who can't resist calling again.
Hi, Charles.
Hi.
What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I had a little video bone to pick with you.
Do it.
You know, you have a video that you've been showing on the Steely Eye Network about this... video on the purport to be shot on the moon.
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, you have questions because it looks like the guy is walking too smooth, you know. You ought to be more walking motion to that camera.
Well, that's one of the criticisms of it, yeah.
Yeah. I was just curious if you had ever heard of a Steadicam.
Yeah, they did not have them when Apollo 11 landed. And the astronauts didn't have them. And
I don't know. I may have had them on that trip.
Nope, they didn't.
Down quite a while.
Can you hang on
sure.
During the break? All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this break. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's open line tonight, and we have Charles from Albuquerque hanging on through the break. And Charles, sorry I had to cut you off, but go ahead and make your case.
No, I was just saying my son, who works in the video industry, uses a Steadicam in his work.
And it's a simple mechanical device. It's not a complicated setup. It just consists of some weights and springs and a platform that the camera sits on. And it just functions in such a way that when the operator of the camera moves up and down, the camera is weighted and sprung in such a way that it doesn't. It just moves steadily. It's not perfect, but it looks to me, that footage looks to me like somebody who is not used to a Steadicam using one in a difficult environment.
Well, I would not dispute that, but in that case, it's not on the moon, because they didn't have that.
It was too early, huh?
Do what?
It was too early. They didn't have the device didn't exist?
I don't know whether the device existed. I would feel quite certain that it did not. But I know the equipment they had was simply a camera strapped directly to their chest. It didn't even have a viewfinder. And so they definitely did not take a Steadicam to the moon, even if it existed. But I'm betting they didn't exist. Steadicam came into existence in the 1980s. And, you know, we're talking early 70s here. So,
well, it sure is interesting looking footage, and
it is.
The camera does move around a little bit.
Well, and it was done with film because you see frame jumps.
Yeah, you do. You see frame jumps.
Yeah, but the motion that I focus on, where I say, okay, now this is later in the video. So watch this. We're moving forward. Now we're moving sideways. Now we've turned around and we're walking backwards.
Uh-huh, the pan.
Yeah. Just before that, and I should have commented on this, if you go back and look at it, right when that series starts, I say, now watch this. We're moving forward rather rapidly if we're walking. Watch the floor. You're going over a big, looks like a lava boulder. Okay,
yeah,
the camera's
right
going over that.
And yet, no disturbance in the, no stepping over it.
Yeah, that's true. And then if that's what's on the floor, that kind of floor, and we've seen all kinds of debris on the floor previously in that video, you certainly would not turn around and walk backwards because you're in a spacesuit. And if you stumble and fall and tear that spacesuit, you die.
Yeah, unless they had some setup that we don't know about, it would be hard to do.
Yeah. I think that's, that video, the original film, I think was well done for a science fiction movie. It would be fabulous. But I think it's a hoax. I think it's science fiction. I don't think that's a real video from the moon. And there's another thing. In the first video clip that I show, right at the end of it, you see one of the astronauts walking in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Watch his movements and then compare that with what you've seen of the astronauts on the moon with actual NASA footage. He does not appear at all to be in lunar gravity. He's not coming up off the ground quite high enough. There's not enough bounce to his movement. And so he's staying close to the ground like you do with Earth gravity. And with each step, he's settling back on the ground way too fast.
Have you seen that video of the shot of what looks like this crashed spaceship on the moon as they're flying over it?
Yeah.
What do you think of that one?
I think it also is a hoax. However, let me say this. Apollo 15 and Apollo 17 both got photographs of that object. So that object, whatever it is in a crater just on the moon, just like that Apollo 20 video purports. But it's, you know, they shot pictures of it from high altitude. But you can see there is something there that is shaped like, well, it's kind of shaped like a boat, to tell you the truth. It's long, oblong, yeah.
Looks like a pointed end of a spaceship or something sticking out of a crevice. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And, you know, is an object there that is shaped like that? Yes, there is. But that particular video purporting to be Apollo 20, I think, is a hoax. You know the story, I guess you followed the story of Apollo 20. Apollo, I think it's, 17. Apollo 17 was the last official Apollo mission. However, we do know that an Apollo capsule did fly another mission officially, and it was the link-up when they went up and linked up with Soyuz and did that first American-Russian deal, you know, where they reached through and shook hands and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And that was an Apollo capsule. So that you could say that was Apollo 18. All right. Apollo 20, the story is that it was a secret mission. 19 and 20 were secret missions flown out of Vandenberg. That's the story. And they went to the moon specifically to look at this site where this object is laying in the crater. And there is this overflight of at close range of that object. And then the next thing is there is a video of a city. And it's supposedly that's very close to that same crater. It's a city in ruins on the moon.
Yeah.
Very interesting. William Rutledge is the guy's name that says, he says, using that name, that he was the commander of Apollo 20. And he names the other two astronauts and, you know. Here's the problem. The problem is that me and film producer Robert Kvyat and Italian journalist Luca Scantamburlo, all three of us have tried to trace William Rutledge down, and all three of us end up at the doorstep of a Frenchman by the name of Thierry. And he's in the photo and graphic business. But nobody can find William Rutledge.
Curious.
It is indeed. The trail ends at the Frenchman's door. And I have, all three of us have emailed him. All three of us have tried to get him to talk to us. No response ever from Mr. Thierry.
Well, that certainly is suspicious.
Well, I think so. But, you know, that's where it goes to, and I think all of those videos are absolutely fascinating, and the story makes a wonderful science fiction movie, but I think that's what it is. I think it's science fiction.
It does, and it even makes sense in a sort of follow-on way, you know, that they would have two more missions.
Well, here's a possibility. The possibility is that they did. That's always possible.
Yeah.
And that they would launch from Vandenberg is entirely possible. That's a backup launch site for the space shuttle. And so, you know, it's entirely possible that they could have done that. And then maybe they're releasing some videos, but releasing it with fiction as the story that goes with it. And that's always a possibility.
Yeah, that's always a possibility. They want the story out, but they don't want to actually have attribution that you can trace to them.
Yeah. Entirely possible. And, I mean, again, in the absence of evidence, all speculation is on the table.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's one of the things about this show.
Yeah. But this video that we were talking about that purports to be a video or film taken by Apollo 11 astronauts, I think that is technologically impossible.
Yeah, and I think the evidence of the gravity would be dispositive. I mean, if it's not moon gravity that the astronaut is walking in, then that's pretty much clearly had to be hoped.
Well, yeah, and you know, take a look at it, decide for yourself. To me, it looks like Earth gravity, and all they've done is slowed the motion down.
I'll take another look.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, thanks for being here.
All right, sir. Have a good evening. All right, folks. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. He's talking about a video that's posted on my website over at kevinsmithshow.com. It's on the opening page of the website, the home page. And you'll see it over on the right-hand side. It says Lunar Ruins Critical Thinking. And it's put up there for the purpose of getting people to look and think critically about things. I'm not saying that we should, you know, become professional skeptics. That's not it. And I certainly am not a professional skeptic. What I'm saying is that all kinds of stuff comes at us every day about UFOs and about space exploration and extraterrestrials and all that. Tons and tons and tons of information just gets dumped out on the internet every day, and a lot of it is video. And I just took one of the videos that's out there that has people buzzing, and I show you from that video the evidence that it appears to have been hoaxed. Now, why would I do that? Well, because the hoax stuff needs to be swept to the side. Let's get to the real stuff. Look, one of the best things you can do if you want to hide something valuable is just put it under a big pile of garbage that's rotting and maggot-infested. Nobody will look for it, and nobody will find it. That's the way hoax stuff is. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It has been an interesting evening, hasn't it? We're on final approach. That means we just have a few minutes left. And if you've been trying to get in, now is the time. And we've got time probably for one more call, maybe two. And I'll be glad to hear from you. 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. 9580 is the number. Well, we've had the opportunity this evening to talk about a wide range of things. As we went away for break, I was talking about all the hoax stuff that you find being infused into the UFO community on a daily basis. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all a hoax. Not at all. As I said, if you've got something really, really valuable and you want to hide it someplace where nobody is going to want to look, they won't look, you just hide it under a big pile of garbage and nobody's going to dig through it to look for it. It'll be completely safe. You got $1 million you want to hide? Well, hide it under a huge pile of rotting garbage. No one is going to look there. And if there is real UFO information and you want to be sure that you find out your cover stories are not working, and they don't. I mean, these ridiculous cover stories, nobody buys them anymore. We just laugh at them. The public has already passed that. Well, here's what you do. You want to hide stuff? Put garbage out there. Lots and lots of garbage, and put people out there claiming it's all true. And, and then people quit looking at the real thing, and they quit looking for the real thing. Nobody wants to dig through all the garbage. What I'm saying is we have to know the garbage is out there for a reason. We have to know that the real stuff is hidden under the garbage, and you sweep the garbage aside. To do that, you have to do critical thinking, and you have to ask yourself some serious questions about what you're looking at or what you're hearing. Sometimes people don't understand. You know, they say, "Well, look, you know, you ought to decide, you know, if somebody is really telling the truth, and then have only those people on." Well, obviously, if I know for sure that somebody's lying, I don't have them on. But if they've got a fantastic story to tell, I have no proof that it's true, and I have no proof that it's not true. But their story is making waves, or their story contains information that we really ought to hear and examine. We have them on. So we have a lot of controversial guests on. We have a lot of guests that tell us things that in the normal run-of-the-mill world are very controversial. That's fine. That's no problem. And then we open the phone lines, and you get to ask your questions, and you get to make your comments, and you get to make your observations. But it's in asking those critical questions that and listening to not only what is said but how it's said, that's how we determine whether we need to sweep this aside or whether this may be true. That's how you do it. And the same thing with videos. With the videos, you have to take all things into consideration. You don't have to be a video expert. Just take everything into consideration. Observe, really observe what you're seeing. There's a difference between watching and observing. Watching is what your eyes do. Observing is what your mind does. So really observe what you're watching and ask yourself a few questions about it. And that's what I did with that video. That's what I've done with these petroglyphs. I can see the petroglyph. There's not a problem. I can see the petroglyph. You can see the petroglyph. Now, to observe, then, would be to say, well, there's not any animal. See, if you look at all of their petroglyphs, you'll see, let me put this one up. In these petroglyphs, you'll see things that you sort of recognize, okay? And you'll see things you don't. In this one, I can see two figures, one of which looks very human, looks like a stick figure. But I see things that I don't see normally around the earth. I think it's interesting in this particular petroglyph that what we have is we've got two human figures, and then we've got some things that we don't really know what they are, but there's two circles up here in the sky, and they look very much the donut-type circles joined by a thin band of something, and they look very, very, very much like that video that I showed you from John Edmonds. And if you watch, you have here in this video the two circles, and they sort of join, and there's sort of an exchange of energy right there. Looks a lot like that, doesn't it? And take a look at take a look at the donut holes in the center of that. And then after you take a look at the donut holes in the center of that, remember the petroglyph that you saw. So when I observe, when I look at the petroglyph, I observe it. I observe that it looks like something I have seen. I don't know what it is. I have seen it in a video that was taken by John Edmonds. And I have seen videos from around the world that are very, very similar. Same type of objects or entities or whatever it is up in the sky. And so can I say for sure that those very ancient people that did the petroglyphs saw the same thing? No, I can't say that for sure. Can I say that it appears so? Sure, I can say it appears so. And so then I can say that apparently whatever these things are have been around for hundreds, maybe thousands of years, maybe millions of years, I don't know. But we can say with some degree of sort of an educated guess that they've been around for a very long time, whatever they are. And apparently the ancient Native Americans saw them. Now, the Native Americans in this area talk about those are their sky brothers. That's their sky brothers. Some of them refer to them as our star brothers. And they talk about them as being living entities. And they're not surprised at all. If you show them this video, they're not surprised at all. The only thing they'll be surprised about is you being surprised. So that's what I'm talking about in that video that Charles referred to. I'm talking about critical thinking, observing, not just looking, not just watching. Again, watching, that's what your eyes do. Observing, that's what your mind does. And that's what we have to do because there's so much garbage being just dumped into the world of UFOs and the world of ufology. I think it's being done on purpose in order to cover the truth with garbage. Well, let's sweep the garbage out and let's take a look at the real stuff. There's not anything wrong with doing that, and it doesn't mean that you're against UFOs. All right, folks, we've come to the end of the show, and it's been a real joy for me and a real privilege to be here, and I thank you for being here. I hope you'll join me tomorrow night. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.